It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
I've read the bit about the festival of first fruits, she said, but I don't get it. How is it relevant to me today? Well, let's walk through this together. I'm going to propose at least three things that can touch you at the core of your life. Before we get there, we have to lay some groundwork so we can trace the trajectory from an ancient Israelite harvest festival to Jesus Christ to the lives of followers of Jesus today. First, I'm letting you know I'm skipping one of the festivals, but we'll come back to that in the next podcast. The one we'll be coming back to seems to be anchored by the festival of the Passover and this festival, the Festival of First Fruits. As the name implies, first fruits is just that. It's the first sheaf of grain from the spring harvest. It's the sign, the evidence of the plentiful harvest yet to come. The podcasts for each of the feasts will follow a similar structure. From the institution of a festival in ancient Israel, to the fulfillment of the reality of that festival in Jesus Christ, to the significance of that reality in the present followers of Jesus. Let's begin by looking at how this festival of first fruits was instituted. Here's what we read in the 6 verses of Leviticus 23, verses 9 to 14. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you and you reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord, so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. On the day you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice as a burnt offering to the Lord a lamb, a year old without defect, together with its grain offering of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made to the Lord by fire, a pleasing aroma, and its drink offering of 1/4 of a hin of wine. You must not eat any bread or roasted or new grain until the very day you bring this offering to the Lord. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live." The festival was delayed until Israel had entered the land, chapter 23, verse 10. Until that time, they were pilgrims and had no place or opportunity to grow crops. Here are three other observations. What? A sheaf of the first grain of the harvest was to be brought to the priest. The sheaf signaled that a bountiful harvest would take place. This action is full of promise. How? It was the priest, acting as the intermediary between God and the people, who physically waved the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. This action declares divine acceptance. When? This celebration took place on the day after the Sabbath, that is, our Sunday, the first day of a new week. Thus, if the Passover fell on, say, a Wednesday, then the following Sunday would be the time for the Festival of First Fruits. This action marks a new beginning, full of promise, divine acceptance, a new beginning. The next question is, how was this Festival of First Fruits fulfilled? Here's what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Here, asleep, as in those who have fallen asleep, is an aphorism for bodies of God's people who have died. Their bodies, so to speak, had fallen asleep, and by implication, their bodies would be awakened at their future resurrection. As the festival of the first fruit was fulfilled in the historical event of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, so the festival of first fruits is fulfilled in the historical event of the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. The festival of first fruits was celebrated on the first day of the week following the Passover. Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week following his crucifixion. You can read records of some of the eyewitnesses to the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. Our final question is, how is this significant for followers of Jesus today? Can you imagine how the followers of Jesus felt after his death? They had given everything to follow him. They had been convinced that he was the promised king, the Messiah, and that he would set up his kingdom at any time. It had come to nothing, or so they thought. 3 long nights and days of disorientation followed. Among other things, they experienced loss, confusion, grief, hopelessness, despair, fear, guilt, recriminations. A gaping void had appeared in their lives. And then, on the first day of the week, reports began to filter in. The tomb is empty. His body is missing. Angels told me Jesus is alive. Jesus appeared to me. Jesus appeared to us. He spoke with us and we touched him. Of their responses, the dominant one seems to be joy. Matthew 28, verse 8, afraid yet filled with joy. Luke 24, 41, joy and amazement. John 20, verse 20, the disciples were overjoyed. Here are 4 elements for the significance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives today. You may have more. First, all that Jesus did and said was accepted and endorsed by God, his Father. He was, quote, declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, end quote. That's Romans 1, verse 4. His resurrection is God's unquestionable stamp of approval on all that Jesus did and said. Second, all those who are followers of Jesus are likewise accepted by God our Father. We who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Romans 4, verses 24 to 25. This justification is God's declaration of our righteousness and our acceptance in Christ. Third, the fact of Jesus' resurrection is full of promise. His resurrection signaled that all who are in Christ will be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. Every follower of Jesus Christ will be physically resurrected when the Lord Jesus returns to the earth. Jesus has been resurrected. He lives, and so shall we. Fourth, our Lord's resurrection marks a new beginning. Words explode from Peter's pen as he writes, 1 Peter 1, verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Paul puts it this way, "If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. The Feast of First Fruits foreshadowed the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we can celebrate God's grace because Jesus Christ is declared the Son of God, because we who believe in him are declared righteous, because we have an unshakable promise, and because we are new creations in Christ.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at hopestreamradio.com.